The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Don't get the vaccine, you can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine, you don't show it, can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine, can't go to work. You don't have the vaccine, can't come here. No shirt, no shoes, no service. That's where I think we should be right now, because we continue to waste our breath on people who are just not going to change.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you today. My gratitude to be able to spend my afternoon with you. It's always a delight to be able to look at life through the eyes of faith. And my deep gratitude to His Excellency Archbishop Cordy Leone, who was just with me, taking some really direct questions, a lot of passion on that issue. A little bit earlier in the week, I had the opportunity to speak to Dr. Joseph Meany, and I think it was Tuesday in my first hour. If you missed part of that conversation, it was a great one. We talked a little bit about the move towards having vaccine passports, vaccine mandates, religious exemptions, and I thought I'd revisit the issue. We only had a short time to talk about it, and if you want to get in on the conversation too, you know the number, right? You feel free to dial in anytime. 888-914-9149. Dr. Meany was of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, and if you missed the conversation, relevantradio.com, keyword, The Drew Mariani Show, and you'll find it, hour one on, I think it was Tuesday, or was it Monday, Maggie? Was I here Monday? I was here, I think it was Monday. It was Monday, I think. Yeah, she's saying Monday. Since we talked, a lot has happened. Governor Tim Walz, he's the governor of Minnesota, he's told all the executive branch employees they've got to be vaccinated by September 8th. You got to be vaccinated. So I have a friend who's in Minnesota. His wife works at a special care facility or something along those lines. I'm not quite sure exactly what she does. She's not vaccinated. She doesn't want to get vaccinated, right? And when she heard that came down, it kind of freaked her out. They were like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They realized that, again, it didn't really affect her, but it will affect all executive branch employees. You know what really was a little bit surprising to me? St. Mary's Seminary in Maryland. That's a great seminary, by the way. It told all their students that they have got to be vaccinated by the time they go to school later this month. And the deadline for getting religious exemptions for that has already passed. 27 out of 28 Jesuit colleges and universities in the U.S. have told their students the same thing. 27 out of 28 of them. So you heard Don Lemon at the very beginning of this clip here. Don Lemon is a broadcaster on CNN, if you're not familiar with him. He opined that unvaccinated people shouldn't be able to go to the supermarket. And I'm thinking, come on. I mean, how does somebody like that get a position with a microphone, right? Or a television camera? Lemon says unvaccinated people shouldn't be able to go to the supermarket. They shouldn't be able to work. They shouldn't be able to go to the ballpark. Whatever happened to conscience? Whatever happened to the right to decide what you want to do? You know, it's really funny. This is just a side note. It's not really funny at all, to be honest. You know, I think of the left. I think of the culture of death. I think of those who promote abortion. It's my body and it's my choice. You can't tell me what to do, right? My body, my choice. That's the mantra of the left. That's the mantra of the culture of death. And Don Lemon would champion that. He'd support that. Oh, it's a woman's body. It's her choice. Well, what about the person who wants to go to the supermarket or to work or to the ballpark and doesn't want to get a vaccination, right? It's their body. Is it their choice? According to Don Lemon, it's not. Such a double standard, right? What's good for me, you know, isn't always, I guess, good for you. There's a West Virginia college. They're charging unvaccinated students an extra $750. When I saw that story, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my gosh, you imagine those parents. Okay, you're not vaccinated. You know, pony up an extra $750, almost a grand. You know, one company is actually, you know, you talk about having to pay more. One company is actually deducting money from their employees' paychecks. If you are unvaccinated, they're going to take $20 to $50 a paycheck from the employees. I don't know how that's legal. I don't know how that's right. Again, I'm not an attorney, but I would be a little upset about that. You know, if you conscientiously object, you don't want to get vaccinated, the company's going to take money from you. Okay, we don't like the fact that you chose not to do this, so we're going to take your money. Or we're going to make you pay more to come to our school. You know, or no, you can't eat. We're not going to let you go to the supermarket. We're not going to let you work. It's silly. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. The protests are breaking out right now in France, where police are actually walking up to restaurant patients at sidewalk cafes and asking to see their vaccine papers. You know, when the pandemic erupted, I like history, and I went back. I thought about 1918. I thought of the Great Spanish Flu, and I actually watched a documentary on it. I did some reading on the great pandemic that took place, and it took lots of lives, far more than what we've seen globally here. But I never thought we'd get to this point where there are vaccine passports where people, you know, there's broadcasters on national networks telling people they shouldn't be able to shop for food or go to work if they don't have their vaccinations, and where companies are now charging people and you know, not letting people into institutions. So what's happening? People who choose not to get vaccinated, there is a big market for vaccine cards, and it's now flourishing. There's a black market, I really should say, for vaccine cards. People are getting them illegally. And somebody was telling me, I don't know where it was, that if you have those, you can be fined and even imprisoned. So just a little heads up if you're thinking about maybe getting a vaccine card that's not legit. Of course, it's not hard to make them. There's very little in the way of digital proof from what I understand and from what I can see. But I know one person who just recently got vaccinated in the the place where they got, I think it was like a pharmacy, a Walgreens or some local place. They said, don't lose the card because we can't get you another one. And don't laminate it. Don't laminate it. So you get one and done. But I figured, well, if it's in your immunization record, why can't you just print me another, you know, why can't you just print another card, right? Why can't you do that? Well, they're not going to do that, I guess, because people are selling these things in the black market. So there are also splits going on amongst the bishops. We just spoke to His Excellency Archbishop Cordiglione, and several callers have come in on the different bishops over the issuance of religious exemptions. You heard Monday that Cardinal Dolan of New York, he's asked priests not to back up those exemption requests. That's Cardinal Dolan of New York. The bishops of Colorado, right, they're supporting them. So New York says one thing, Colorado says another. Yesterday, I just saw a report that the bishops of South Dakota, they've also said that they'd support those requests. But the Catholic News Agency reported that Cardinal Supich, the Cardinal of Chicago, he's leaning on the National Catholic Bioethics Center to withdraw its statement for supporting exemptions. So, look, it's confusing. It is. I don't know where you stand on it. If you want to get in, you want to talk, feel free to join us. It's 888-914-9149. I thought today we could take a look at vaccine and religious exemptions and what is looming, because it's going to affect you. This is not going away. We are having, as I talked about the other day with an infectious disease doctor, an outbreak of all sorts of new variants. You know, we got Delta and Eta and Gamma and Lambda, and who knows what else is coming. In fact, I saw earlier today, I think it was Australia? There was some place that actually they're shutting down again. There's certain towns, certain cities that are masking up and shutting down. In fact, I spoke to somebody I know who says, and I was surprised that the company was going to do this, they're going to make their employees remask, even though the governor of that particular state has not said anything about it. So more of this is coming. You might be working from home again. I hope not, because I know this has impacted everything from travel industries to restaurants and so much more. I'm joined today by Dr. Joseph Meany. He's president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, which you can find out. They're a great source. You often hear from Dr. Tad Pahulchek, who comes on here, Father Pahulchek. NCBCenter.org. Bookmark it, okay? It's a great resource. NCBCenter.org. Dr. Meany, welcome back. Always good to have you here.
Hey, thank you so much.
So, religious exemptions. Let's start there. I was just mentioning, I saw a report this morning, Cardinal Supich was, you know, leaning on the NCBC to withdraw its statement supporting exemptions. What's the NCBC's general stand on getting a religious exemption?
Sure. So we very much believe in the church's position, you know, of conscience rights, that we have to follow our conscientious judgments are sure judgments of conscience as a religious duty, you know, under pain of sin. And that's straight from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So individuals who, you know, have to discern, and we very much support a very serene discernment, right, where the persons get all the information they can possibly get, a good scientific information, and all the different moral aspects, you know, defending the common good and all the rest, and then coming to a peaceful decision, you know, as to what they should do. And the problem, of course, with the mandates is it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on people, and it's very important that they have access to exemptions in a way that lifts that pressure. You know, that's standard in practice. I was actually just reading a joint statement by the American Hospital Association and the Catholic Health Association, et cetera, from July 27th, and they were supporting vaccination policies, mandatory vaccination policies, but they said with appropriate accommodations for medical or religious reasons. We think that the accommodations aspect of that is super important.
My guest today, Dr. Joseph Meany. Doctor, let's take a few calls, too. A lot of people patiently waiting to get on board. The number here, 888-914-9149. Anthony's listening in Watsonville, California. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, Drew. How are you doing?
All right.
Awesome. I'm a Catholic educator. I teach in a Catholic high school. I'm a 20-year teacher, math teacher.
Awesome.
10 years in the public and 10 years in Catholic school. And I'm a bit concerned. I live out here in California, and the governor has just created a mandate for teachers to be vaccinated or submit to weekly tests. And I think that's just going to head eventually to 100% mandate, no more weekly tests. So I'm just wondering, from your guest, do you see any leadership in Catholic education for those of us educators and students, who I think eventually this will also come to, for them to be able to get religious exemptions? And in California itself, there are no religious exemptions for in the public schools and for schooling in general, I believe, in California. For those who want to seek a religious exemption, it's not available to them. So do you see any leadership in Catholic education, especially at the secondary and elementary level, as pushback for this, for conscience rights?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I was just in North Dakota at the University of Mary with their president there. And, you know, he's a great friend of Relevant Radio as well. And Monsignor Shea,
oh, yeah.
And he has not, you know, put any mandates on the students going to University of Mary. In fact, they were able to have in-person classes last year, taking a lot of precautions, but, you know, at the same time, having kind of normal education. So there is some leadership in examples, but at the same time, I think there's almost like this rising tide, you know, of like, oh no, the only solution is to mandate this. It's a problem. Because you know, there are multiple ways to address the pandemic, but it seems like the only solution being provided right now is like, well, everybody gets vaccinated and then it'll be over. Unfortunately, it seems to me, you know, there are a lot of people who are getting breakthrough cases, you know, so even though they're vaccinated, they get sick. Now perhaps they don't get it quite as bad, but clearly it's not just unvaccinated people. And then, you know, individuals who've already gone through the disease, who have, you know, natural immunity from that, sometimes that's not being taken into account either. So there are a whole host of issues there. And I think we do have to stand up for our rights, that particularly the conscience right is a very, very important one. Getting exemptions that would make sense, right, for individuals who are not comfortable and shouldn't really be coerced.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm at a very good Catholic high school, and it's small, so hopefully we fly under the radar for a bit. But I don't know what I'm going to do eventually. I mean, it's something that's very, very serious and very, very important to me. And for my own children who attend the same school.
Yeah.
So I think it's a real pivotal moment for Catholic people and for our other Catholic brothers to support us, those who want to have the vaccine and those who are against it.
Yeah. Well said. Hey, Anthony, thank you. Hang in there. Let us know how it works out. Tough situation for him, and Doctor. You know, and to your point, I mean, of course, Monsignor Shea, great with my, you know, and his university has really been very successful. Dr. Bill Thierfelder from Belmont Abbey College was on the air, too, and he says, I asked him, I said, how did you guys do during COVID? You know, he says, well, we kept things open. We had our athletics. We had our classes. We didn't. You know, we were fine. So they kept everything going. So there are some examples out there of institutions that seem to have really thrived. And I think this is going to be a real issue for a lot of people. And it's going to be a challenge for a lot of educators like Anthony and others, this whole issue, especially California with their mask mandates. So is there any recourse? I mean, does it come down to the bishops in some of these areas, too? Why are our bishops so divided over this particular issue, some for exemption, some not?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And it's sad when you do see divisions in, among our bishops. I think in a certain sense, there's almost like a big push, you know, to say that, like, if you're in favor of the common good, if you're in favor of solidarity with those who are most fragile, et cetera, you're going to get on board with a vaccine requirement. That doesn't necessarily follow. It's rather a question of, you know, what do we hold most dear, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of our values and in Catholic teaching, the importance of conscience. If you've got a valid reason, something that is from a well-formed conscience that needs to be respected. It's a very, very basic tenet of the faith. Now, clearly, you know, accommodation mm-hmm. can take many forms. You know, and requiring the weekly testing, as the individual said earlier, it's not ideal, but it does respect their conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a better solution than simply saying you can't, you know, be employed if you're not able, and even worse, right? If you're saying you can't do the ordinary things in life,
yeah.
I think the problem that people need to look at is are we going to create a situation where there's going to be a sort of second class citizenry,
that
don't have the same rights because they are holding pretty tight to their conscientious beliefs. That would be really unfortunate.
Yeah, and I think look, as a natural byproduct of this, I would think, to your point, second-class citizens are those who don't get vaccinated. Those who are vaccinated, look at them in a very different way. You may not be able to go to the theater or to the ball game. You may not be able to get on that particular airplane. You might not be able to travel abroad. So there will be a distinction between those who are vaccinated and those who are not. And those who are not have their reasons. I mean, they could be concerned about the medical, you know, ramifications of a vaccine that has not yet been approved by the FDA. It could be the moral concerns with its relationship to abortion. There could be a lot of different reasons. Some people may just be anti-vaxxers. I mean, I know a lot of people who are not anti-vaxxers who have not gotten their vaccine yet because they have got some of those particular concerns. What do you see looming for the future? Because I think we're going to see more variants. I think this is going to get a little. I think things are going to get heated as the fall comes and we enter the winter. I don't think this is going to go away. I think it may just intensify. What do you see happening in terms of that type of divide? And how do we bring civility? Because this is the problem. Whatever camp you're in that camp. If you're vaccinated, you think those who aren't vaccinated are wrong. If you aren't vaccinated, you think that those who are vaccinated are really taking a risk. So how do we bridge that gap with civility? And what do you see looming?
Yeah. Well, again, I think it's very hard to predict what's going to happen. My hope, and it could very well be, right, is that the Delta variant surge that's going on right now could peak and drop. and you know, make the situation much less volatile. Exactly. But we don't know. There have been several variants that have kind of, you know, never taken off or took off a bit and then went off. It's very hard to know. I do agree with you very much that there's such a need to try to be a little bit empathetic to other people's positions, not to, you know, name call or to lack in charity. I mean, there was an article recently that, you know, I had expressed some discontent with the way vaccine hesitancy is used, you know, mm-hmm. in the press, and mm-hmm. in kind of a very pejorative way sometimes. And the person who wrote the article said, yeah, you're right, we shouldn't say vaccine hesitant, we should say vaccine stupid.
Wow.
Well, how helpful is that, right?
Wow.
It's just kind of like, well, if you're going to tell people that they're wrong, you know, and not really listen to them or have any empathy for them, we're kind of violating some of the more basic commandments, right, of love your brother and love your neighbor.
Well, my guest today, Dr. Joseph Meany. Doctor, I had to take a short pause just for this break here. We're going to come back. We'll grab a few more calls. If you're on hold, thank you for your patience. I know you're there. I'll do my very best to get you on. And if you're just joining me, we're taking a look at vaccine mandates. Looks like more are coming. And vaccine exemptions and where the church stands in all this, the ethics behind it. Feel free to join the conversation. There's one line open at 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show is here for you at 888-914-9149.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. It is good to be here with you. If you're just getting plugged in, we're taking a look at vaccines and religious exemptions. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. This is something that, look, you and I are both going to deal with, right? We're not going to escape this. I spoke to somebody earlier today who was saying, hey, look, the whole mask mandate might go back into effect, and you may have to wear a mask. The Pentagon just announced earlier in the week that they're going to mandate that all their military personnel receive shots against COVID-19, right? By mid-September. So if you are serving in the military, you have a loved one, that's coming your way. And that's just one of a number of federal agencies, number of businesses, number of, you know, groups that are out there that are requiring their employees to get shots. I had shared before in the beginning of the week, because of the Delta variant, and there'll be perhaps other variants, you have Walmart and Delta Airlines and Facebook and Google and Ford and Disney and the New York Times and Anthem and the Washington Post are all now requiring all or at least some of their employees to get vaccinated. That's just some. I could give you a list of others. Hospitals, nursing homes, including Catholic ones. There are teachers, as I pointed out, seminaries. All moving towards, you know, the mandate of getting a vaccination. New York City, Indiana University, San Francisco County, a number of other state and local governments all are having this. Now, the problem is what about those people who have a moral issue with these shots? And again, I'll lay this out, and then we'll take some phone calls. We're speaking today with Dr. Joseph Meany from National Catholic Bioethics Center. Remember that the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines were tested on fetal cells obtained through abortion, while the J&J vaccine, that one shot that you might want to get, actually developed using fetal cells obtained through an abortion. But I want to be clear, because this is where a lot of confusion comes in. The bishops of the United States, in conjunction with the Holy See, they say, look, you can get your vaccine. Getting those shots does not constitute a sinful action because it's classified as something called remote material cooperation. So what's that mean? It means that it's far enough removed from the original abortion that you getting the shot, you're not cooperating with. I think your MMR too, you know, your measles, mumps, rubella, those shots that you get also have that connection. So people may not be aware of it. But it's an issue for a lot of people right now. And some people are asking their employers for religious exemptions, and as I said, there's some division even amongst the bishops over this as to whether or not those exemptions should be granted. And I've invited to join us today Dr. Joseph Meany, president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Philadelphia. And, Doctor, I want to jump back into the phones. But before I do, okay, I want to talk to you about one point here because I may not have a chance to get to it. A lot of people live in fear. I addressed this a little bit earlier in the program today. And fear can be blinding. It can be crippling. It can be enslaving. This pandemic, it will be history one day. This is not a perpetual, forever lasting event. Yeah, we're hearing about new variants that are looming, but we will get through this. And I think so often we've lost hope. I don't think this should be fear driven. Do you? I mean, how do we get that hope back? And how do we look at this in that proper, that long view perspective?
Yeah, no, exactly right. There's a good example. I mean, looking back at the 1918-1919 pandemic, I mean, it basically lasted 2 years. Yep. And that was quite a long pandemic. So, you know, but it didn't last forever. You know, it was 100 years ago, and then it stopped. So I think, yeah, the problem, as you pointed out, with people being extraordinarily fearful, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, is that we're learning more all the time. You know, there's a lot we don't know, but there's a lot of, you know, medical knowledge, and we're treating sick patients more effectively now than we were in the beginning. There's just a lot more activity, and, you know, and there are lots of, you know, vaccine candidates that are, you know, set for approval that will be coming out that may be even better than the ones that are currently available. Certainly from a moral perspective, there are several out there that could be approved by the FDA that have no connection with the abortion-derived cell lines. That would be amazing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, that 1918 pandemic, just to put it in perspective for people, it was estimated that I think 500 million people, or about a third of the world's population, became infected with that. And we did not have the medicine, the technology, the oxygen, the things that we have today. The number of deaths was around 50 million worldwide. So you take a look at where we are, even compared to then. I think we're going to conquer this, have less loss of life, and we will get through this. There are brighter days ahead. Let me go back to the phones. Pam's listening in Texas, and she's got a question for you. Dr. Pam, thank you for your patience. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're well, thank you. Go right ahead. You're on the air with Dr. Meany.
Yeah, Dr. Meany, first of all, I want to say that I did find out today that it will be mandated. I work in a healthcare setting. I work in a doctor's office, and I am a fertility care practitioner, and I can see how much just environmental chemicals really affect bodies. And I am personally COVID recovered. I feel very confident that I am got good immunity with it. I've always felt like as a mom that my natural immunity that God gave me works really well, and I've gone with that. So are there any other studies out there that I could maybe present to my employer saying that COVID recovered people don't necessarily need to have the vaccine?
Yeah, no, that's a very, very good question. Good point. I will look and see. Nothing comes directly to mind except for what the experts have been telling us, that that absolutely it's true that, you know, for almost any of these diseases, if you've gone through it, you have natural immunity. And, you know, even if your antigen level is low, the T cells have a memory, right? So if they detect the virus, they produce the antibodies and go after it. So that is should be a very good argument for a medical exemption, saying, look, you know, even adding to that natural immunity that you already have, you know, the vaccine could almost not be helping with that. I mean, it's hard to know, but it would be normal, right, for the immunity to be strong. But I'm wondering where to point you for the best resource on that. I have to admit, I don't have anything at the tip of my tongue. I'm sorry. But as a general rule, that is the case. So I think it can be found looking it up.
Well, I also was re-exposed. My son got it months after I had it and was in the home with me, and I had absolutely no issues, nor anybody else. It was already COVID recovered. Wow. So for this disease that is like 98%, you know, recoverable and no problem. I'm having a serious moral issue taking one that I think is absolutely not necessary for myself. So I have decided that I would probably go ahead and try and do both a medical and or a religious exemption to try and not get this vaccine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and your own personal experience should count, right? I mean, if you've been directly exposed to COVID and did not catch it, that is, you know, a very strong practical exercise. You never want to do that, you know, just to do it, but you were forced to go through that, and that's a very good sign, you know, that you have a strong resistance immunity to it.
It's so weird. I had been exposed to my daughter and my son both had COVID-19, right? My daughter was having dinner with this doctor, and we had steak one night, and she must not have been feeling well. I didn't realize, but she didn't eat the rest of her meal. I said, you're not going to finish that? I'll finish that. So I took her steak, right, and I finished it. And the next day, she was terribly ill. My wife comes in. I was broadcasting from home, held up in sign and says, oh, you're in trouble. I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, she says, Olivia's got COVID-19. I'm like, oh, no. I ate off her plate. She was probably shedding the virus, you know, and my son, who had gotten sick, my wife and I were at his house, the same thing, and neither of us had contracted COVID-19 as a result of it. I thought, you know, even during the tuberculosis or the Spanish flu or places like that, there are certain people that have some natural immunities to it. So maybe Pam has them as well. So we'll see. Dana in San Marcos, Texas. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, I want to say first, apparently there's an Israeli study addressing the natural immunity versus the acquired immunity from the inoculation. That's been one thing, too.
Dana, I'll tell you, I got to stop you. Dana, hang on one second. I don't know whether you're on a speakerphone. We can't make it. Your voice is pretty garbled. So if you are, switch off real quick so we can hear you. Otherwise, I'll put you in queue and maybe we can correct the problem. But try it again.
I'm not on speakerphone, so if you can't hear me, then I guess I should just hang up.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Try it now. I'll see if we can discern what you're saying. Otherwise, I will move along.
Okay.
There you go.
What I'm saying, there's an Israeli study, apparently, that shows that the natural immunity is just as effective, if not better, than the inoculation-based immunity.
Right.
That's pertinent to the previous caller's question. Second, as I understand it, this is still an experimental treatment, and therefore it's just inherently unethical to compel people to participate in an experiment. And I mean, that's like ethics 101.
Well, go ahead, doctor. I'll let you pick
so,
up. Dana, thank you.
To
you dropped off
to
again.
That. There actually, I was going to say that. There have been a lot of studies done recently in Israel because the vaccine coverage there is, I think, one of the highest in the world. And yet, nonetheless, they've been, you know, still having cases, et cetera. So they've been studying what the situation is. And I think one of the questions that comes up, in a way, is, you know, particularly the mRNA vaccines, they really focus in on that just one, the spike cell of the virus, as opposed to the full virus. But of course, if you catch the disease, your immunity you're reacting to the full virus and not just the spike cells, and so the proteins there. So it's very likely that you have a greater immunity, and that's a very good point. I think the other thing too. So right, all the vaccines that are available in the United States right now are under emergency use authorization, which means that they have not gone through the full approval process of the FDA, which normally takes a few years. And the idea behind that is just to see the long-term effects. You know, what is the possibility that something only manifests after 2 years or something after a certain intervention? And that's just unknowable at this point, right? We don't know what the long-term effects are because the time has just not gone through and the study haven't been done. So it's a situation where, we have a lot of short-term data and huge amounts of data because millions and millions of people have been vaccinated. And so that's good, but we don't have the long-term data, and that's troubling. So it's not so much that it's still experimental because it has been approved, right, under emergency use authorization, but it's simply that it hasn't gone through the full process where we don't have all the information for the future. what the situations are, and for that matter, for COVID as well, right? I mean, people haven't had COVID for years now to know what the long-term effects of the disease are also.
That's so true. All right, Charlie's been waiting in the city of brotherly love to join the conversation. Charlie, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, Charlie.
I'd like to know where the ACLU is on all this stuff. You know what I mean? It was very silent. Like, I remember when AIDS hit the scene back in the 80s, they were pretty vocal about the defense of people's rights and this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? And what bothers me with this whole vaccine thing, our government is anti-life. It's pro-abortion. They want to fund abortion. They're pro-euthanasia in a lot of cases. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, we want you to, you know, we want to save your life, and we want you to make you to take a vaccine to save your... I don't understand, like, the difference in the philosophy here. You know what I mean?
All right, Charlie, thanks. I appreciate it. So I don't know where the ACLU is on this. He says they've been pretty silent. Doctor, what do you know?
You know, they came out pretty strongly against the vaccine passports when they were first proposed. Now, I haven't seen anything, you know, most recent, and I'm wondering if they've sort of backtracked or changed position. I don't know. But they were strong. I mean, even President Biden was against it,
yeah.
You know, when,
yeah.
when it first came out, and now he's kind of changed his tune. But it does. It raises a lot of civil liberties issues, you know, medical privacy for one thing, you know, having to reveal what you have done, you know, in your own private medical decisions to police officers in the case of France, but you know individuals just asking for your vaccine passport. There's a real privacy issue there that is significant, and also you know individuals being forced to reveal their medical conditions, etc., in order to get exemptions, medical exemptions and whatnot. Again, that is really kind of speaks to some privacy issues.
Right. All right, let's sneak another quick call in before our next break. Tom's listening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Tom, good afternoon.
Hi. I just wanted to say that we had a rally in Madison in front of the Capitol, and there was about 500 to 1,000 people there,
wow.
And more than half of them were healthcare individuals. They wore scrubs, and they had stethoscopes and everything, and they had representatives of the capital of Wisconsin. So it was a lot of different groups, but the main gist I think that we're missing is that it's more about socialism than it is about healthcare. And I understand the other countries doing all these things; they can do that. The problem is as the doctor was just saying, what happened to HIPAA laws? You know, I can't even get my own daughter's information, but somebody at Walmart can ask me if I got vaccinated.
Now, there is a difference there, isn't there, Doctor? Maybe you can address that. I mean, HIPAA and whether or not you've been vaccinated or not, I mean, maybe you can explain that to everyone. I think you addressed that last time, Your Honor. Somebody did.
Yeah. So, no, HIPAA, you know, provides protections for patient privacy. And that is, you know, because it was a big problem that the patient's privacy was not being right. respected. And similarly, you know, if people are being asked to reveal their vaccination status, that goes to a medical privacy issue.
Mm-hmm.
It comes, you know, the reason provided is, well, we're trying to defend public health, et cetera. But I would say, you know, and it's interesting right now, one of the big barriers to mandates going into place in hospitals, et cetera, are the unions, right? The collective bargaining agreements with nurses' unions, et cetera, because they're trying to protect the rights of their constituents, and the employers are wanting to put these requirements in, and they're like, well, wait a second, you know, we do have rights here. And so it's interesting, right? I think there are some unions that are taking strong positions saying, wait a second, we don't want this to be required of us without, you know, proper exemptions, et cetera.
All right, my guest today, Dr. Joseph Meany. Doctor, let's hold it there for just a quick second. When we come back, if you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. We'll talk. Appreciate your patience and appreciate your comments. If you want to get in, one line open for you, 888-914-9149. We're talking about vaccine mandates and religious exemptions. Going to affect you. and somebody you love, no doubt about it. This is an ever-changing landscape. Our conversation continues right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
The Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com. Drew Mariani is on your radio now, coast to coast on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's good to be here with you today, and I am grateful for your patience. If you are just tuning in, boy, great conversation. You can listen to the entire thing by going to relevantradio.com and going to my show archives or the podcast and download it. Maybe share it with somebody else who didn't get a chance to hear this. We're talking today about vaccine exemptions. We're talking about coming mandates. And I was sharing, if you are just getting plugged into some of the things that are currently happening there, we're talking about 27 out of 28 Jesuit colleges and universities telling their students to, you know, get vaccinated. St. Mary's Seminary in Maryland, the same thing they told their students. Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota has told executive branch employees there they've got to be vaccinated. And look, the list goes on and on. There's even some companies deducting money, $20 to $50 a paycheck from unvaccinated employees. West Virginia College is charging almost a grand, $750 for unvaccinated students, and it goes on and on. I was quoting Don Lemon. We actually played a little bit of audio for him. He opined that unvaccinated people shouldn't be able to go to the supermarket. You shouldn't be able to work. You shouldn't be able to go to the ballpark. That's Don Lemon. All right, let's grab a few calls. Doctor, good to have you. Oh, Dr. Charles Meany, Dr. Joseph Meany, if you're just joining us here. We were just talking about St. Charles Borromeo Seminary, which he's very close to, a great seminary there in Philadelphia. We're reminiscing about that part of the world. Dr. Meany is the president of the NCB Center. That is the National Catholic Bioethics Center. You can check them out at ncbcenter.org. Trying to get everything in the few minutes I have left here. Mike is listening in Philadelphia. Mike, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Drew. How are you?
I'm well. Well, thanks.
Yeah, Drew, earlier in your program, I think you and your guests made a great point, which, you know, especially in this polarized time, is to look at our opponent or those we disagree with charity and understanding.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to do that. I just finished a conversation with a sibling over abortion. And, you know, I'm very pro-life. But it got me thinking how that can sort of relate to these vaccine exemptions. So, in abortion, you know, the issue is one of morality versus liberty, right? And we believe in the pro-life side that it's an incredible moral bankruptcy to kill a human being, to kill an infant in the womb. Our opponent, the other side, as I'm talking to people that are not pro-life, they don't see it as a big moral issue. So what they see is a tremendous burden on their liberties. And that's all they see, okay? And I see a similar parallel with these vaccine exemptions in that I think the people levying these vaccine requirements, the mandates, the universities, they see this as an incredible moral issue wherein people, you know, they see this as people are dying. It's really important to get the herd immunity up so people stop dying. Whether right or wrong, I suspect that's how they see it.
Right.
And so they don't see it as a very big deal to limit liberties, you know, at the expense of this important moral issue.
All right, well, great. Let me hold you on that point there. I'm going to let Dr. Meany respond. He makes the case, as you heard, seems like morality versus a liberty issue for some people, Doctor.
Yeah, it's a very good point. In some sense, we're almost inverting here, where we're very much defending liberty, and folks are saying, yeah, but there's a responsibility to get vaccinated, you know, which is overwhelming. It's actually both, right? And we should be very cognizant of the fact that this is a moral issue, the vaccines, but it's also a liberty issue. So both apply, and he's absolutely right. You know, we need to be as loving as we can with people we you know, don't agree with, but in particularly in families, right? I think it's just a tragedy if this is allowed to poison relationships within families. That would be a terrible result for COVID.
All right. Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And pray for that person who you've had that conversation with. Claudia in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly. Go right ahead.
One of my employers is handing out stickers to the employees that are vaccinated for their name tags. So by the nature of not having the sticker, they're revealing that I'm not vaccinated.
Uh-huh.
And I am wondering what privacy law that falls under, because they told me it was not HIPAA because I'm not their patient. I'm their employee.
Mm-hmm. I think they're right. Right, doctor?
Correct. Yeah, it wouldn't fall under HIPAA. But it does contribute to that sort of, you know, shaming aspect of things, which is unfortunate, right? We're always talking about how it's bad to do coercive pressure on people, even, you know, trying to make others look down on them. So, yeah, there's a real issue there with saying, well, we have our good employees and our bad employees, and make that, you know, distinction based on their vaccination status. It's a problem.
Hey, doctor, let me throw, and Claudia, thank you. I'm sorry for what you're going through, but you're not going to be alone. I think a lot of people are going to find themselves segregated by whether you've vaccinated or you haven't. There's an argument out there that is being made that people should take the vaccines because it's going to contribute to the common good, right? And if you don't get vaccinated, well, you know, we're not going to have herd immunity. The disease is going to spread. Lives can be compromised by that. Does that argument hold up with these particular vaccines? Is that a legit argument for this, or do you not think so?
Well, certainly, you know, obtaining herd immunity would be wonderful. It's a question mark, you know, with the different variants, whether the vaccines are going to be able to do that, you know, with the future variant possibilities, et cetera. But most of all, I think it's important to realize that herd immunity does not involve everybody having to get vaccinated.
Right.
So that's important to realize. You know, there's room for individuals not to get vaccinated and still achieve the goal of herd immunity.
Right.
So there's no kind of absolute need for everybody to get into the same boat. It's kind of interesting, right? I mean, we do believe in the rights of others, you know, in solidarity, and it's particularly as Catholics, but we also realize that individuals, you know, morality is mostly based on individual actions, not, you know, collective sins, etc. So, because it's an easy way to kind of get off the hook, you know, you're like, oh yeah, all that structures of sin, collective sin, you know, etc., and de-emphasize the personal. What we do really matters personally. And when it comes to the vaccines, clearly, there's not a need for everyone to get vaccinated. So there is room for exemptions. Yeah. There's room for you know, conscience rights here.
Yeah. Well, look, let's grab another call or two. Time is racing by. Ryan's in Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan, thanks for calling in.
Hi, good afternoon. I work for a large corporation in Nashville, Tennessee, and they have required that we declare our vaccination status by the end of the month, or we will be suspended without pay. And just like the previous caller, if you state you are vaccinated, you have to put a sticker on your ID. And, you know, if you're not, then you have to wear masks. And so I had a discussion with a coworker and just said, you know, that instantly divides us.
Yeah.
You know, it's creating two classes of citizens instantly.
Yeah.
And I don't, I feel very uncomfortable declaring this status, you know, if I don't know where this information is going. Is it being sent off to a national database? You know, I don't know, where I could be leaned upon later. That's, you know, that sounds crazy, but, nothing sounds crazy these days, but, you know, is that allowable?
Yeah. First of all, Ryan, maybe you can clarify something for me. Did you say suspended without pay too?
That's right. Suspended without pay if we don't declare. Not if we
right.
if we get the vaccination or not, but if we don't declare whether we are vaccinated or not.
Wow.
Suspended without pay.
I have never heard of anything like that. Doctor, I'll let you respond, and we only have about a minute and a half left. Ryan, thank you for your call. I do appreciate it. Doctor,
yeah.
Bring some clarity.
It's kind of That's right. I think companies are scrambling to find policies, but some of these policies are a little bit strange, as you say. You know, I think it is true, right, that that if we're choosing not to get vaccinated, we can, you know, take extra precautions. That is reasonable. But at the same time, we have to absolutely avoid sort of second-class status for individuals, you know, or discrimination that is not based on actual public health concerns. So there's a balance to be found there, and it's difficult, but we have to do it, because otherwise we're going to be harming a lot of people.
Well, doctor, thank you for your time and for your clarity. I want to put a quick plug in for the National Catholic Bioethics Center. It's located in Philadelphia. Check them out at ncbcenter.org. I will revisit this issue, I promise, in the not-too-distant future. I'll continue to keep my finger on the pulse of it. I'm out of time for the day, though. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, remember, God loves you, and so do I. Have a great day.